Praise the Lord. I think the last two songs can only be sung in the church. I don't think you can sing that song anywhere else, because we are those who have come out of captivity. Amen. And our home in the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now we come to Psalm 126, turning the captivity of Zion by the Lord. When we reach this stage, then we realize that we are not just for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are for all of God's people.
Amen.
We are not here to start something new. We are here to recover what was lost,
yes,
which is for all of God's people.
Amen.
Right? So let's read this chapter again.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 126. Amen, Lord Jesus. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion,
we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing.
Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, sparing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion.
Amen.
To understand this verse here, we have to look back in the Old Testament time to see the history of the children of Israel. Right? There are actually in the Old Testament two kinds of captivity. First is the captivity in Egypt, referring to the time before we were saved, right? At that time, they were under slavery in Egypt, under Pharaoh, under the rule of Satan. Praise the Lord, we were saved. The Lord saved them with a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt, out of the slavery under Pharaoh, right? Through the Passover lamb. The Lord saved them with a mighty hand. Praise the Lord. Out of Egypt, through the desert, into the good land. And there in the good land, the Lord chose Jerusalem and Zion, and there the Lord built his house.
Amen.
Right? You all know this history. But in the good land, God told them to destroy all the nations there, so that they will not be a snare to them, so that they will not influence them to go after their gods. But they disobeyed.
Yes.
Right? And so what happened? Let us read now 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Let's read from verse 11.
Chapter 36.
2 Chronicles chapter 36 from verse 11 to 21. This is to show us what happened at the end. All right, let's read. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king,
and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warning to them by his messengers, rising up early and ascending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, on the aged or the wicked. He gave them all into his hands. And all the articles for the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years.
Right. So this portion of the scriptures tells us very clearly that the children of Israel rebelled against God, forsook God, went after the gods of the nations, and worshipped idols, even overdid it, did it even worse than the heathen themselves, to the point that they even offered their children to their idols as sacrifice.
Yes.
Really bad. And we see how the Lord was merciful and again sent messengers to them to ask them to repent, call upon them to repent, but they refused until there is no more remedy.
Amen.
So God has to give it up, give his people up, and allow Nebuchadnezzar to come, destroy the temple, burn down the city, right, and killed many, many people in the city, and even took all the vessels that belonged to the house of God and brought them to Babylon and put them in the temple of their gods, right? And those who were spared were brought into captivity in Babylon. So with this background, then you would understand what it means here, that they were happy when the Lord returned the captivity of Zion, right? And concerning Babylon, we also need to read one more place in the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 11. Actually, the word Babylon came from the word Babel, or Babel. Babel or Babel. It means the same thing. Now, let us just read from... This is the first mention of Babel, by the way. Let's read from verse 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city, and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do now. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and hear their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel,
because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth,
and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth.
So this is the origin of Babel. First there was just one nation, one people, and one language. But because there, people start to forsake the Lord, worship idols, and became proud, as our brother said this morning. They wanted to build a tower that goes up to the heavens and make a name for themselves. And because of that, God judged them and caused them to all of a sudden speak different language. And they couldn't understand one another anymore. One was speaking Mandarin, one was speaking Cantonese, one was speaking Spanish, German. They couldn't understand one another anymore. Right? And so they were dispersed, they were scattered, and one nation became many nations. Right? So Babylon, or Babel here, signifies what? Confusion, and then what? Dispersion, and then division. This is the principle of Babylon, right? So we can see here that the captivity referred to in chapter 126 is not the captivity in Egypt, not the world, but in Babylon, right? Which is religion, right? And God did not cast away his people forever, just temporarily for 70 years. Praise the Lord. The Lord is merciful. He will not give up his plan. Amen. Although we may be unfaithful, but the Lord is faithful. And God's purpose was actually to bring his people back from Babylon. And those who were carried to Babylon after 70 years, many of God's people at that time just settled down. Forgot about God's plan, forgot about Jerusalem. But praise the Lord, there were a few who cared very much for Jerusalem. They did not feel at home there in Babylon, because that is not the place which God has chosen. They know that they belong to Jerusalem. So they prayed. People like Daniel, for example. Yes. Daniel, when he was in Babylon, although he had a very high position, he was doing really well, right? Very successful. Yet his heart wasn't there. He prayed 3 times a day with open windows towards Jerusalem. Yes. His heart was there, amen, right? Even Ezekiel was, yes, somebody like that.
That's right.
Who, although they were in captivity, did not forget. And they found out from the book, from Jeremiah, that the Lord is going to turn the captivity of Zion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? They were not distracted by Babylon. But unfortunately, most of the children of Israel at that time, they just settled down right there and lived comfortably. Right? And praise the Lord, if you read Ezra, there is, when the time came, praise the Lord, the Lord used King Cyrus, right? If we read Ezra chapter 1, in verse 2. Even the Lord used a heathen king to call his people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple.
Yeah.
Right? It says here in verse 2, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah,
and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God which is in Jerusalem.
Amen. He is God which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, again, which is in Jerusalem. The house of God can only be built in Jerusalem, not in Babylon. Because according to Deuteronomy, Jerusalem is the place which God has chosen, right? And then verse 5, it's good. It says, then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits God has moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. There were the few, the remnant, not very many, whose spirit the Lord has stirred up and moved to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Right? So this is why they were so happy at that time, because the Lord turned the captivity of Zion.
Amen.
But how does it apply to us today? Right? Is there a spiritual Babylon today?
Yes.
Yeah? Indeed there is, right? There is also a Babylon today. And we read that in Revelation chapter 17. Actually, if you read the first three chapters of Revelation, especially chapter 2 and 3, we read of the degradation of God's church, right? You read about the church in Ephesus who lost her first love, has her best love to the Lord. That is the start of the degradation, right? When a wife does not love the husband foremost anymore, that's the beginning of the end. Pretty soon it will end in separation. And that was what happened in Ephesus. Although they had a lot of works, outwardly speaking, they are not a bad church, right? They have good discernment. And they hated the teachings of the Nicolaitans, but they lost their first love. And then you can go on to read about the church in Pergamos, right? Wherein so many things in the world started to creep in, right? Pergamos means married to the world. Normally the church is married to Christ, but then it became so much mixed up with the world. So many things of the world crept in. And then you have the church in Thyatira, wherein you have Jezebel there, the prophetess, who brought in so many heretical teachings to the church. Right? Oh Lord. Yeah, and then you have Sardis, also a church that has the name that it is living, but it is so dead. Right? Oh Lord. And then you have Laodicea, a lukewarm church. Right? The Lord says, I would rather that you be cold or warm. Not lukewarm, right? You were neither cold nor hot. Yeah. Oh Lord. And they were proud. So you see that actually Revelation chapter 17 should be a continuation of chapter 3. Chapter 4 to 16 is just another category. It's talking about what's going to happen in the future, right? Because Revelation is a book of prophecy.
Yes.
So, but chapter 2 and 3 talks about the condition of the churches at that time, how it started to fall, to degrade, right? Or to degrade. And so chapter 17, all of a sudden, you have Babylon. How come Babylon all of a sudden appears here in chapter 17? Because it is the result of the degradation of the churches described in chapter 2 and 3, right? And so if you read it, you will see. I won't go into much detail, but just reading it, for example, in chapter 17, it says here, then one of the angels, verse 1, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, or whore, who sits on many waters, with whom the king of the earth commit fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Amen. So he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. John was very surprised to see this woman there, right? It says here, Babylon the Great. Jerusalem is the holy city, but Babylon is the great city, right? And Jerusalem is a bride. The bride of Christ only has relationship with Christ. Babylon is a whore, a harlot, has relationship with many men, right? What a contrast. And here we see that clearly, that the picture here definitely is a description of the Catholic Church, right? Like, you know, the Catholic Church is in Rome, right? The center is in Vatican. And we know that Rome is a city of what? Seven mountains. It is described here in where? Chapter 18. Chapter
17. 17 verse 9.
Yeah, that's right. 17 verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So that definitely refers to Rome, right? The Catholic Church. And the color here, it says the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. And that is definitely the color, again, of the Catholic Church, right? And if you read the history of the Church, and you will see how the Catholic Church, the church is degraded. Up till the 6th century, the Catholic Church was fully developed. The papacy, the hierarchy was fully developed and existed at least until, or it was like that for at least 1,000 years, until the 16th century. And that was called the Dark Age, right? And here we see that the Catholic Church here, Babylon here, has committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were all made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She has relationship with everyone, with politics, with business, right? They have representative everywhere in the world. So very clearly in this portion we see that Babylon refers to the Catholic Church. And not only that, she is adorned with gold, silver, or gold, precious stones, and pearls. Outwardly, she looks pretty good, right? Adorned with gold, pearl, and precious stones. These are materials of the New Jerusalem. That means there is something that belongs to God in Babylon. Just like in the Old Testament, they took the vessels of the temple and brought it to Babylon and put it in the temple of their idols. Right? That means something of God is there, although it doesn't belong there. Right? So if you go to Babylon, or you go to the Catholic Church, oh, they also read the Bible, or they also have the Bible. They also tell you that Jesus was crucified for your sins. Right? So, outwardly, yes, it appears, it looks good, right? But inwardly, it says it's what? Full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And it goes on to say that she is what? Not just a harlot, but the mother of harlot. What does that mean? Who is the mother here? Who's the mother here? How come I don't see any mother? Oh! My wife is the mother. What does it mean? When I say my wife is a mother, what does that mean?
Children.
That means she's children. Right? So when it says Babylon is the mother of harlot, it means that she has children. Right? She has children. Oh Lord, that means Babylon is not just the Catholic Church. It's the Catholic Church with all her daughters. She's the mother of harlots. And we saw earlier in Genesis chapter 11 that the principle of Babylon is what? Confusion, dispersion, and division. And this is the captivity today, right? Oh Lord, and this is the sad situation among Christians today. So full of division, confusion, and dispersion. And there is a call in chapter 18, verse 4 again, right? It says here, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues." Oh Lord Jesus. Yeah. This is just like the call in Ezra, wherein the Lord is calling his people to come out of her. Right? And this is the captivity that we're talking about today. This is the spiritual Babylon. If you read the book of Acts, you can see that in the beginning, there was just a church. Was there any Baptist church? Any Methodist church? How about Anglican church? How about Pentecostal church?
Or Chinese church?
How about Chinese Jewish church? It was just the church. Right. Praise the Lord. Right? Today, we're here not to be any other church, but to be just the church. Praise the Lord. So at that time we can see that there is just one church. And this church is expressed in different localities. You don't need to ask when you meet a Christian at that time, which church do you go to? You will be very surprised if you ask them that. Because there was only one church. But today, how many churches are there? Just in Fountain Valley, okay. Just in Fountain Valley. How many churches are there?
So-called.
So-called.
There's only one.
So, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
In the spiritual Babylon, from one church, it became many denominations, right? And this is the captivity today.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord. Mm. And praise the Lord has brought us back.
Yes.
Back to Jerusalem. To build up his church. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, oh Lord.
Yes.
So when the Lord brought us back to Zion, we were like those who dream. Really.
Yes.
I still wonder how I could be in the church today.
Yeah.
I remember before I came, I was against the church. Right? Oh, I was so concerned my wife would be convinced and come to the church. But the Lord did great things for us. The Lord opened our eyes. Praise the Lord. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. We are, it says here, when we came to the church, back to Zion, we were all filled with laughter and joy. Right? Really wonderful. I must testify that I have never experienced such joy and enjoyment before I came to the church. It was really a lot of joy and rejoicing.
Yes.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh Lord, and then it says here, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us.
Amen.
For them, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Yes, the church built up in oneness is such a wonderful testimony to the nations. Did not the Lord pray in John chapter 17 that through our oneness, the Lord and the world would know that you have sent me? Right? You know, before Peter came into the church, he introduced me to his barber. And so since then I've been going to him for my haircut. And I was preaching the gospel to this barber. And he also knows that Peter was a Christian. So he asked me, do you go to the same place? Go to the same church? I had a hard time answering it. It was such a shame. I said, no, we're not, unfortunately. Unfortunately. But praise the Lord, after Peter came to the church, I was able to tell him, praise the Lord. We are one. That's wonderful. So many times we preach the gospel and people ask us, why? Why are you so divided? Why are there so many kinds of churches? Such a shame to the Lord. Right? But if we come together and we're built up as the church, not your church, not my church, not anybody's church, but as the one church.
Yes.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Builds up in oneness.
Yeah.
One accord.
Yes.
Wow, the nations will definitely say,
amen,
the Lord has done great things for them. Right. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
amen. Oh Lord, yeah, it's such a testimony for the Lord, right? And it is really the Lord's doing, right? The Lord has done great things. Therefore, we are glad. It's not our doing, right? And therefore, we need to pray. Oh Lord, it says here, Lord, there's a prayer here, right? It says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Amen. We need to pray. Pray for so many of God's people who are in captivity.
Amen.
Yeah, there's nothing for us to be proud about because it's the Lord's mercy that we are in the church today.
That's right. Yes.
I definitely was not seeking. I was against the church. I thought my brother went astray. I was even praying for him. And he was praying for me. Well, he was in the right place, so the Lord heard his prayer.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's the Lord's doing.
Yes.
Really, it's the Lord's doing.
Amen.
The Lord has done great things for us.
Amen.
And we are glad.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So we need to pray. Amen. Yeah, I remember when I was here 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know if you remember, it was in a prayer meeting when I stood up and asked you all to pray for Peter and Angela. Remember? I don't know if you remember.
Yes, that's right.
And we have continued to pray for them. It took 3 years. 2 to 3 years. So don't give up.
Yeah.
Pray for them. Don't get mad if they don't come. Don't say, ah, stop to them.
Don't stop praying.
Pray that the Lord will turn our captivity.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And the Lord did. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes it's just like a dream. I remember in Stuttgart, I was working in a Catholic hospital. And I preached the gospel to a nun who was in the Catholic Church for 25 long years. It was like a dream that she came to the church.
Wow.
Really, praise the Lord. I never thought that would happen.
Yeah.
But the Lord could do it as long as we sow the seed.
Amen.
Right? Oh Lord, so we should really pray.
Yeah.
And if we pray for them, as we share to them concerning the church, we will not have a proud attitude.
That's right.
Right? Because it's the Lord's mercy that we are in the church today.
Yes. Amen.
So we need to learn, it says here, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
You know, it's a sowing. It's not a convincing. It's a sowing. We need to just sow the truth, the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God into our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, oh Lord. And continually, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Amen. Let us learn to really sow the seed in such a way.
Amen.
Don't just try to convince people. It just doesn't work.
No.
Don't just tell people, you're wrong, we're right.
Yeah.
Right? And you're in Babylon. We're in Zion. If we have such an attitude, nobody will come. Definitely. I remember when I first came to the church, I was like that. Nobody came. None of my friends came. Right? I had a very good friend at that time. Mercy would know who he is. Oh, when I came to the church, immediately I took a train from Stuttgart to Marseille. Tell him, you're in Babylon, you better come up. It didn't work. It didn't work. And at the end he was mad at me. He wasn't happy with me anymore. Right? Oh Lord. But with time I found out, no, we need to pray. We need to sow in tears. We need to pray for them.
Yeah.
Right? Pray for them and really cry to the Lord that they would also come to Zion, to Jerusalem. Home in the church.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. Right. Oh Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And then we will with rejoicing bring in the sheaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that those who are in Babylon are not Christian. Definitely not. We have nothing against the believers.
No.
But it's a system. The system of Babylon that captures the people and cause them to be divided. Right. Oh Lord, so there is a captivity today. And as we come into the next age, we do have a heart for our brothers and sisters in Babylon.
Amen.
Right. And we do have a burden for them. And we need to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Right. So may the Lord have mercy upon his people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us learn to really pray for them. Amen. With tears,
right? That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.